Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levillier. Coming up in this hour, romance. Later on, we hear Fred McMurray and Irene Dunne in the Bright Star series. But right now, it's the Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater, adapting the Somerset Maugham story turned movie in 1940, Too Many Husbands. It originally starred Fred McMurray, Jean Arthur, and Melvin Douglas on the silver screen. In this episode, Frank Sinatra, Bill Goodwin, and Donna Reed head up the cast on CBS from September 4th, 1944.
Presents the Screen Guild Players in Columbia Pictures' hilarious comedy of a merry mixed-up marriage, Too Many Husbands, by Somerset Maugham. It stars Frank Sinatra as Henry, Bill Goodwin as Bill, and Donna Reed as Vicky. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in Too Many Husbands. A year ago, Bill Cardew took a solo cruise in a ramshackle boat and disappeared from the face of the earth. His widow, Vicky, married Henry Lowndes, Bill's partner in the candy manufacturing business. Well, this evening, Vicky picked Henry up at the office, and they are just returning home after dinner in a show. Peter, the butler, meets them at the door.
Good evening, madam. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Peter.
Hiya, Pete. Got a fire going for us?
Yes, sir.
Atta boy. You can trot along now and throw yourself in the hay.
Very good, sir.
Say, by the way, Peter, you're still reading that mystery, The Case of the Marinated Corpse?
I completed it this evening, sir.
You did, huh? Who knocked off the victim?
The butler, sir.
Oh. Well, I'll come up later, Pete, and lock you in.
Very good, sir. Oh, I beg your pardon, madam.
Yes, Peter.
I neglected to mention that a gentleman called while you were gone and left this message. I took it down verbatim.
You're getting very sloppy, Peter. Next time, take it down word for word, shall we?
Very good, sir.
Thank you, Peter. That will be all. Now, what gentleman could be calling me?
Oh, you must have met one once. Read the message, dear.
Just got in on a tramp steamer. We'll be there as soon as Department of Health scrapes off my barnacles. Bill. Now, who could that... Bill? No, it can't be. He's dead.
Of course he's dead. This must be a joke.
Well, it can't be a joke. He must have been rescued somehow, Henry.
So what? Who cares?
Well, don't you realize that he thinks I'm still his wife, not your wife?
That's fine. Looks like when you got started getting married, you forgot to say when.
You'll have to break the news to him, Henry.
Not me. Remember the time he almost killed the guy that tried to hold your hand?
Yes.
Well, you and I haven't exactly been holding hands.
Well, surely you don't expect me to tell him.
Why not?
Henry Lowndes, if you force
me... Pardon me, madam, but the gentleman who called is here. He says...
One side, Jeeves. Vicky, come to Papa.
Bill! Oh, Bill!
Well, kiss me, baby. Now, another one. Hey. Ooh. One of those was in the script, folks.
Oh, Bill, are you really alive?
Oh, still some doubt, huh? Okay, let's take it again. Another one. You know, it's a shame it's only a half-hour show. Settle up close, Vicky. Oh, that's wonderful. Let's just stay like this until Take It or Leave It comes on the air.
But that's next Sunday, Bill.
What's a good Saturday show? If there's an echo in here, it's got an awfully sore throat.
That's Henry, Bill. Say hello to Henry.
Hi, Henry. Oh, keep cuddling, kid. Gosh, it's good to be back.
Oh, Bill, I still can't believe it. How did you get back? What happened?
Well, really nothing to it. My boat just sank in the middle of the ocean. I swam to a desert island. And you know, Vicky, for almost a year, all I ate was fish. Nothing but fish. Today, I passed a fruit store and I had a horrible desire to buy a lemon and squeeze it on myself.
Poor Bill.
Oh, I'm not in such bad shape. Look at these muscles. Hey,
Yeah?
You want to look at my muscles, Henry?
No, thanks. The doctor told me to avoid excitement.
Say, Incidentally, Hank, old man, isn't it just a little past your bedtime?
Oh, I guess I can manage to stay up a little while longer. Say, tell us some more about your experiences. Your message said that you were picked up by a steamer, tramp.
A tramp steamer, and cut it out. Well, tell you the truth, I'd rather not talk anymore tonight, Hank. I haven't seen Vicky for months, and, well, you know how it is.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Well, I'll see you tomorrow, huh, Hank? Come on, Vicky, honey.
Bill, I think Henry has something to tell you.
Kid's getting to be quite a chatterbox. Okay, son, put back the needle.
I hardly know where to begin.
I bet it's something about business.
Sure. Sure, that's it. Remember our best-selling candy bar? Peanut Rapture. The bar with glamour in every goober.
Yes, that I do, yes.
Well, there used to be 11 and a half peanuts in every bar, and I've cut it down to 10 and a half.
No. Yes.
Great work, Hank. Good night.
Bill, Henry has something really important to tell you, and he'd better tell you now.
Well, it better be important. Come on, let's hear it.
Well, I'm married, Bill.
No, no fooling. Who's the screwy bride? Well, no, wait. Now, don't tell me, Henry. Let me guess. Myrtle?
Now, you see...
Agnes, Bertha, Carolyn,
oh,
Daisy,
no, no.
Edna, Frances, Gracie, yeah. Hildegard, Imogene?
Was Henry acquainted with all those girls you mentioned?
Acquainted with them? Listen, sister, they didn't call him puckered up Hank for nothing.
Hey!
Gee, I can't get over it, Hank. Gosh, some of these days you might even become a father.
So that's the kind of man I married. A wolf.
Yeah, he's the biggest wolf... What? Who married?
Bill, old man, I've got something important to tell you.
Oh, so that's it. You've been hanging around here like a salami in a delicatessen because you live here. You're her husband.
Well, I'm the nice one.
You're the thin one. Vicky, how could you do this to me, getting married twice over? I could understand it if you were trying to dodge the draft.
I thought you were dead, Bill, and I was lonely.
Lonely? Why didn't you join the Elks?
Can't you understand? I loved you so much that when they told me you were dead, I went all to pieces and married Henry.
Thanks a lot for the TL, kid.
I didn't mean it that way, Henry. But you've been wonderful to me.
I understand, Vicky. I'm out of your life, forgotten. You found happiness, and I'm just a gopher in the garden of love. All right, I'll go.
Please, Bill. We don't feel that way about you at all, do we, Henry?
I don't know. I think he's got hold of something there.
Well, one of us has to go. You can't have an extra husband around like you would a spare tire. In fact, you can't have a spare tire. Make up your mind, Vicky.
Now, Bill, we're tired and upset. Let's get a good night's sleep and face the problem in the morning. Henry, you will sleep in the guest room with Bill.
What?
It's the only way. Good night, my men.
Oh, fine. And this is what I dreamed about on that desert island.
Come on, lover.
So this is the guest room, huh? My, my.
Well, what's wrong with it, buddy?
Well, it's gotten a little frillier since I was last here. Used to be a room where a fella could undress without feeling ashamed. Well, how about a pair of pajamas? Any of mine left around here?
Nope. Gave all this stuff to a tramp.
On you, it looks good. Where do I sleep?
There's the bed.
You mean we gotta sleep in the same bed?
Aren't these tears in my eyes telling you?
Well, I'm the guy who's got trouble. The last time I slept with you, I woke up black and blue.
Sorry, that was the night I dreamed I was taking chances on a punch board.
Say, you know, this is quite a bed. No wonder you're so puny, Henry. You haven't been eating your grape nuts.
How do you know?
You sneaked them upstairs and put them in the mattress.
Why don't you stop beefing? Was there a nice, comfortable bed on that desert island?
Well, no, nothing but palm trees.
Okay, then. There's a chestnut tree in the yard. Go out and hang by your tail.
Come in.
Who is it? A friend or another husband?
I thought I'd see if you boys were all right.
Well, I can't complain. Of course, I could use a pair of pajamas.
Poor Bill. Where are your pajamas, Henry?
I won't tell.
I know. They're in the second drawer. Go on. Get a pair for Bill.
Oh, all right, but they'll be much too big for it.
Vicky, listen, Vicky, this is the first chance I've had to tell you how wonderful I am. I mean, how wonderful you are. Vicky, forget about Henry. You'll have to forget about one of us anyhow. I hear they're going to start rationing husbands.
Hey, what are you two whispering about?
We weren't whispering.
No. I was just showing her where a barracuda bit me.
You mean where he bit you back?
You hear that, Vicky? All he does is take raps at me.
Please, Bill, I don't want my husbands to quarrel. Give him the pajamas, Henry.
Take them.
Well, good night, boys. I just wanted to be sure you were all right.
Oh. Oh, wait a minute. I don't feel very good.
No? What's the matter?
Deadly tropical fever. I've got it all through my body.
Couldn't think of a better place for it.
Put your hand on my head, Vicky.
All right. It's not at all hot, Bill.
It will be. Just keep your hand there.
Hey, you know something? I don't feel so good myself.
You don't? Stick out your tongue, dear.
Oh, that's no fun. You held his head.
I don't believe either of you are a bit sick. Now go to sleep and we'll settle everything in the morning. Good night, sweetheart.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, Hank, does Vicky still sleep in the same room?
Don't let it bother you, son. I've got our big toes tied together. You ain't going anywhere.
What'd you do that for?
Huh?
What'd you do that for?
Because I don't want you to walk without me, baby.
Hey, Hank. Are you asleep, Hank? How do you like that? Snores off key. Well, he's dead to the world.
Oh, so I'm not going anywhere, huh? Oh.
Peek-a-boo, lover. What's cooking?
Following morning, Bill and Vicky are at the breakfast table. Henry has not yet put in an appearance.
Coffee, dear.
Thanks. Fine thing, my first night home and I sleep in the guest room.
How many lumps?
About eight. Where'd you get that mattress, anyway?
I wonder what's keeping Henry.
Well, he's pretty tired. He stayed up all night to watch me.
Really? What for?
I walk in his sleep. Pass me some more of that puffed rice, huh?
Oh, good morning. How's your sleep, Angel?
Great, lover.
I'm not talking to you. I was talking to Vicky, you wicky.
Peter, you may bring in Mr. Lowndes' breakfast now.
Yes, madam. Good morning, Mr. Lowndes. Here are your eggs, sir. Shall I serve them?
You'd look pretty silly hatching them.
Say, are you sure six eggs will be enough, old man?
Why don't you lay off? Can't you let a man enjoy a quiet breakfast with his wife?
Well, don't forget she's my wife, too.
Why, Peter!
I'm frightfully sorry, madam. I guess I'm a bit old-fashioned.
Oh, you mean what Mr. Cardew just said?
Yes, madam. The arrangement does sound rather sophisticated.
Oh, it really isn't, Peter. You see, Mr. Cardew is my first husband.
Oh.
Yes, he was supposed to have been drowned at sea, but he wasn't, unfortunately.
My!
You see, Peter, this is a very involved problem, and I'm afraid it's only the beginning.
Oh, madam, not a third one.
Of course not. How could you even think such a thing?
Well, I once knew a young woman who collected seashells, and it got a dreadful grip on her.
Take it easy, Pete. The whole thing will be settled by tomorrow.
I hope so, sir. Either one of you gentlemen goes or I go.
Oh, stop acting like an old maid.
It's not that, sir. I simply won't shine 4 shoes every morning. I will await your decision, sir.
There, you see? Even Peter is shocked because I have one husband too many. We've got to do something about it.
You're right, Vicky. Things can't go on like this.
Yeah, I guess you got to choose between us, darling, and I'll help Bill pack.
I didn't sleep a wink last night. I just tossed in bed thinking and thinking and thinking. And finally, I decided...
Yes?
Yes?
...that I couldn't make up my mind.
Oh.
But the time has come. I must make a decision. Now. Just sit there, both of you, and don't say a word. Just let me look at you a little while.
Vicky, darling, while you're deciding, I only want you to remember that I came to you in your darkest hour and gave you all the love in my heart. I only want you to remember that.
Well, honey,
And that our life together, if you do choose me, will be as happy as it is in my power to make it. I thank you.
Henry, you're so sweet.
And all I want you to remember, dear, is our first hour together in the Tunnel of Love at Coney Island.
Oh, dear, this is so difficult. If only one of you were good-looking or intelligent, it would be... it would be a lot easier.
Intelligent, eh? Say, Bill, old man, you don't happen to know how to spell pithecanthropus by any chance.
Pithy, who?
Yes, pithecanthropus. You know, the missing link between man and ape. How do you spell it?
I can spell ape.
I think.
There, you see, Vicky? With me, big words are everyday conversation.
Well, I tell you, with me, it's muscles. Can you jump over the breakfast table?
What?
You heard me. Can you jump over the breakfast table?
What for? I can wait till the butter's handed to me.
What for? Because I say you can't. Not that it's anything to a man of my athletic prowess.
Well, listen, if there were any reason for my jumping over the table, I could do it.
Oh, watch this, you armchair athlete. Give me a little room, Vicky. Here I go. What's your high run in pool?
I don't believe you could make that either, old man.
Bill, darling, are you hurt?
Oh, ooh, my... Yes, I am. Hey.
What?
Hey, what's that on the floor right there?
Why, just some puffed rice, dear.
Thank goodness, I thought it was my teeth.
You're playing games. Oh, this is hopeless. I can see right now I'll have to separate you two boys. That's the only way I'll ever come to a decision. It's like old times, isn't it, Bill? Remember how we used to walk in this park together when I was married to you?
Yeah, this is what I get for going away and letting you fall into the clutches of a rat like Henry.
Please, dear. You're talking about my husband.
What do you think I am, your Uncle Mo? Hard enough on that awful island. A whole year just thinking about you, remembering the way you used to kiss me.
Put your arm around me, Bill.
One night I dreamed we were getting married all over again. You had the same ribbon in your hair. You wore the same leopard skin coat. I put my arms around you. I kissed you, and then I woke up.
Poor Bill.
And the dream was so real, even after I woke up, I thought I was still kissing somebody in a leopard skin coat. I was, too, a leopard.
Put your arm around me again. Kiss me. Oh.
I got
the wrong part. Bill, I haven't felt this way since you died.
Will you quit calling me dead? I ain't dead. I'm just holding this expression till they pay off my life insurance.
I know, Bill. It's you I love.
Hooray! Tonight we celebrate.
But one of us will have to be brave and tell Henry.
Let me know what he says.
Henry.
Poor Henry, yeah. Poor Henry. Well, at least he'll have the peanut bars. We'll give him the whole goober business. Just think, 20 million nuts to him.
Darling, what are you doing here at the office? Don't tell me you're taking an interest in the candy business.
Henry, there's something I must tell you.
By the way, I'm sure glad you dropped in because I've got something to tell you, too.
Oh, but this is important.
So is this, baby.
Embrace me. My sweet embraceable you. Embrace me, my irreplaceable you. When I look at you, my heart grows tipsy in me. You and you alone bring out the gypsy. Many charms about you. Above all, I want my arms about you. Don't be a naughty baby. Come to Papa Doo. My sweet embraceable you.
Oh, Henry.
That's how I feel, Vicky. Now, what did you want to tell me?
Only that I love you, Henry.
Now, that's the way to talk. Tonight we celebrate. Tonight we tell the whole world.
Yes.
Wait till Bill hears about this. Boy, oh boy, cut off his curly hair and weave himself a new mattress.
Poor Bill.
Yeah. Ha! Poor Bill.
Just a second.
What are you doing here? All right, now, one at a time. What are you doing here?
I have a date with Vicky.
You have a date with her? That's a hot one.
I hope so. Oh, I get it. You mean she hasn't told you yet, huh?
Told me what?
Well, Bill, Vicky decided this afternoon that we're getting married. You can either divorce her or die again. But this time, you got to do a better job.
Now, wait a minute. Look, am I crazy? Henry, this afternoon, Vicky promised to marry me.
Holy smoke, you too?
Well, don't you see? She handed us both the same stall.
Well, how do you like that? I'll be a...
Yeah, we always have been, old boy. Well, Henry, what do we do now?
She isn't worthy of either of us.
You're right, Henry.
After all, she's only a woman, isn't she?
That's all.
There must be a million others just as attractive.
Sure.
100 million.
You bet.
What's she got that any other woman hasn't got?
Nothing.
Not a thing.
That was fun. Now what'll we play?
Well, we've got to stick together.
Well, you're right, pal. What do you say she doesn't get either one of us?
It's a deal, Pod. When she comes in, we walk out. Together.
Shake. I always wanted to see the Sahara Desert. Now I'll see it with you.
Remember now, solid front, pal.
You said it, Pard. Oh, hello, Vicky.
Why, Bill. Oh, and Henry. My, both of you.
Vicky, Bill and I have talked things over, and we've decided that you've played with us, Vicky. Like an octopus plays with a... What does an octopus play with?
Another octopus.
But I didn't mean to play with you. It's just that it's been so hard to choose.
Well, we've made the choice for you, darling. Henry and I are going to the Sahara.
Goodbye, Vicky.
Wait, you can't do this. Please, I'll decide.
Goodbye, Vicky.
No, come back. Come back, please come.
Well, let's get a good night's sleep, old man. We're taking a long trip tomorrow. See you in the morning.
Good night, Henry.
My baby.
Well, why not?
Bill.
Vicky, I had to come back. I just had to see you. Uh-oh.
Hello, Bill. I guess I beat you back from the Sahara Desert, huh?
Well, hold your hats, folks. Here we go again.
Thank you, Frank Sinatra, Donna Reed, and Bill Goodwin for a most entertaining half hour. Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players will present Phantom Lady. It will star Ella Raines, Walter Abel, David Bruce, and Ralph Bellamy. Be sure to listen.
The Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater on 2 and 2 yesterday from September 4th, 1944. Though Somerset Maugham's story, Too Many Husbands, was a success at the box office, it actually made its debut on the stage in Atlantic City in August of 1919, with a move to Broadway in October of that year, running for 102 performances. It's an hour of romance on 2 and 2 yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVillier. Now, the film Too Many Husbands starred Fred McMurray, who is not in the radio adaptation, but he's leading man next in the Bright Star series alongside actress Irene Dunne. From January 8, 1953, this is a syndicated broadcast.
Bright Star. The Irene Dunne, Fred McMurray Show, with Irene Dunne as Susan Armstrong, owner and editor of the Hillsdale Morning Star, and Fred McMurray as George Harvey, her ace reporter. You know, no matter what takes place in a newspaper office, it all has to do with news. And what is taking place this morning is no exception to that rule, even though you might think so.
Try to get it through your head, Sammy. And I might add, try to get it through your nose, too. Now, once more. Bonjour.
Bonjour. How's that, Miss Armstrong?
That's horrible enough to strain our peaceful relations with France.
Well, how can I say it right when I don't even know what it means?
It means good day. Now, try it again.
Bonjour.
Look, Sammy, before we give it up as a bad job, let's try the most necessary one of all, the French for mister. Monsieur.
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 You could replace Canasta. How many can play at a time?
Miss Armstrong's trying to learn me French.
You might try teaching him English first, Susan. It might help.
He knows better than to say learn for teach.
Well, I guess he's just stubborn, I guess.
Can I go now, Miss Armstrong?
May you go now?
That's what I'm asking you.
Yes, Sammy.
Monsieur, bonjour. Monsieur, bonjour.
What's with this gay Paris routine?
Have you read the late edition of our paper?
I write it. Don't get time to read it. Something I missed?
Anatole Dubriac will be in Hillsdale this morning.
Well, should I be glad?
Well, it depends on what makes you happy, I'd say.
Oh, little things. Yachts, polo, country estates. Hey, the guy sounds like a Frenchman. League of Nations or something?
Only one of the top five couturiers of Paris.
Oh, that has something to do with women's dresses, doesn't it?
He designs women's gowns.
My slip. Sorry it was showing.
George, he's stopping at the General Grant Hotel. Now, you better hurry right down.
What for?
He's good news. Very good news to every woman in Hillsdale.
Yeah, and bad news to every man. Why don't you cover him if you think he's such hot news?
May I remind you that I am the editor?
Not at all, boss. Not at all. I've got it carved right here on my chest. Mr. Dubriac?
Oui, monsieur.
I'm George Harvey of the Morning Star.
The Morning Star?
Yes, a newspaper. I'm a reporter.
Oh, oui, oui. Come in, please, won't you?
Thanks.
Please, sit down, Mr. Harvey.
No, thank you.
You wish to interview me, no?
The boss's orders. She figures there's a story in your coming to Hillsdale.
She? Monsieur, you work for a woman?
She happens to own the paper. Anything wrong with that?
You mean, no. Sometimes that can be very romantic.
Yeah, sometimes.
Me, I work for many women, n'est-ce pas?
Oh, good for you. You're a long way from France. Why did you come to Hillsdale?
To find a typically perfect American woman.
In Hillsdale?
In New York, they tell me this is the place.
You don't mind a silly question.
You ask anything you like.
What do you want with the perfect American woman?
To create beautiful designs for her. We have lost so much business to your American designers that I am here to study their trends and perhaps do even better.
Nice work, I'll say that.
No. You can tell me. Where is this most perfect woman in Hillsdale?
We have a saying in America, it pays to advertise.
Oui, but every woman would think that she was the one, n'est-ce pas?
That figures. Make it a contest, then, and you be the judge.
Contest. Excellent, the very thing. Now, how do I make this contest?
Well, you go to a newspaper, tell them your troubles, and your contest is made.
But you are a newspaper.
I'm a reporter. You'd have to see the boss.
And your boss, she's a woman, no?
According to my latest survey, yes.
Merci. I'm beginning to like this whole idea.
Well, you vote your way, and I'll vote mine.
Well, George, how'd you get along?
Oh, come see, come saw. That's French for so-so.
Oh, you don't sound very enthusiastic.
I'm not. Routine assignment, dull subject, no news value.
One of the greatest designers in France.
Well, what was I supposed to do? Kiss him on both cheeks?
Oh, that's one of the French customs.
Okay, so I didn't get through the customs.
No kidding. What was he like, George?
Well, he was like a guy that designs gowns.
Tall, short, thin, bald, mustache.
He's looking for the perfect American woman in Hillsdale to make some glad rags for.
Why, George, you ended that sentence with a preposition.
Oh, that's because I'm speaking to a lady. Here are my notes, Susan. It might be better if you wrote up the story.
That was your assignment, Mr. Harvey, and you'll write it.
May sure do be rack to see Miss Armstrong.
Oh? Oh? Well, tell him to come right in, Sammy.
I'll see you, Susan.
No, you'd better stay here, George. I might need an interpreter.
He talks with his eyes, too.
Miss Armstrong, have I the pleasure?
Monsieur Dubrec.
Oh, Madame Enchante.
I'm George Harvey, remember me?
Maybe, but of course the reporter.
Well, now that we all know each other, suppose we form a happy little group, huh?
In just what way may we serve you, monsieur?
You have not told her about the contest?
Well, I haven't had a chance.
What contest, George?
I told him the Morning Star would run a contest to pick the perfect American woman in Hillsdale.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. Well, of course we will. Every woman in the town will be interested in that, and every woman will be... Is anything wrong, monsieur?
Madame, you will stand up, please.
I beg your pardon?
You will stand up as a special favor, s'il vous plaît.
Oh, well, certainly.
You will turn around, please.
Well, I... This seems awfully silly.
Check.
Mais oui, in the name of la belle France, this I would not have believed.
No.
There will be no contest.
No.
Already I have found the most perfect woman in America.
No.
You, Mademoiselle Armstrong, are the most perfect woman I have ever seen.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, this is really so sweet of you, monsieur, but don't you think that...
Oh, madame, your figure divine, your beauty heavenly, the shoulders so chic, the waist so petite. What is there else, eh?
Did you check her back teeth?
Teeth? This I do not understand.
Mr. Harvey likes to make jokes in a dull sort of way.
Oh, yes, of course, a joke.
Monsieur Duvet, don't you think...
You will do me a favor, eh, n'est-ce pas?
Well, of course.
I will call you Suzanne if you will call me Anatole. Suzanne.
Anatole.
Jane, and out.
Oh, you must be with me every day, every evening. I must see you all the time in this week that comes.
Oh, really? Well...
I must see you walking, running, swimming. I must see you coming down a great staircase. I must see you dancing, dining, in every activity of the woman throughout the day and the evening. I must be with you.
But...
I will design a complete wardrobe. I shall create ensembles that no one will ever surpass. And the most beautiful jewel of all will be the evening gown which every woman in this world will envy and want.
Oh, Anatole.
Oh, come, madame, come. We begin at once with luncheon. Already the artist is singing within me.
Oh, but wait a minute. The paper. I have...
You will put everything aside. You must think of nothing but beauty. Your servants can do your work, n'est-ce pas?
Oh, yes. Well, I guess so. George.
Your servant, madame.
Can you run things?
All the way out of town, if need be. And I'm getting some good ideas. What about the ad layouts?
I took them to Linotype.
Anybody check the features from the wire services?
Yeah, I did. I figured you'd forget.
Then run along and don't bother me. I've got this whole paper on my shoulders.
He sure is smooth, ain't he?
Who?
Where'd he take her?
Out to lunch.
Well, she ought to be back soon.
In Paris, they lunch right up until it's time for dinner.
When do they work?
They don't. Their servants do.
Well, how's every little thing at the Morning Star?
Just took in an ad for a Powers model. Would you be interested?
Oh, now, don't be bitter, George. Can I help it if I happen to be
the figure divine, the beauty heavenly, the waist petite. The whole idea, nuts.
What was that?
Sammy on his way out. And I think he's got a good idea.
Now, you stay right here. I've got to meet Anatole at the house at 4, and you have to be here.
Okay, so I'm going out to get something to settle my stomach.
Patience, where is your French cookbook?
Never had a French cookbook. Cook everything right out of my own head, you know that.
But this has to be very special. Something different in the way of a salad, and maybe a capon under glass, and some fish with a thrilling sauce, and a crepe Suzette, of course, for dessert.
Sounds like Anatole coming with his napkin waving in the breeze.
Well, I want him to think he's back in Paris, at least for one dinner.
I'll march around the roast beef and whistle the Marseillaise.
And how about some French pastry?
You mean make it?
Well, of course.
Well, I'll give it a whirl, but don't be surprised if it comes out apple pie. And say, what about George?
What about him?
He hasn't fed here in quite a while.
I didn't know we were on a definite schedule. Must he eat here every week?
No, but for him, you don't need a foreign cookbook. I always say you can make more runs in your own league.
Oh, you do? You're getting to be quite a philosopher, Patience. And speaking of George, I'd better call him. See how he's making out.
Not too good, if you ask me.
Morningstar, Harvey speaking.
Hello, Harvey.
Oh, hello, Armstrong.
How are things going, George?
Everything's under control.
Well, that's good. Just thought I'd call.
Sure. We miss you here, Susan.
You do?
Well, you know how it is. You're always here, and then all at once you're not here.
Oh.
How about dinner tonight?
Well, Anatole's coming here for dinner.
What's he going to do, design a special bib or something?
You should see the preliminary sketches he's made.
Well, I can't wait.
The man is simply a genius. He acts inspired.
Oh, hum.
Am I boring you, Mr. Harvey?
Frankly, yes.
Then good night.
Good night.
Good night, George.
Ain't Miss Armstrong ever going to come back?
Well, they've worked their way from morning coats through tea ensembles, casual suits and sportswear. There's nothing left but the evening gowns now, I hope. She should be back any day.
Women wear too many clothes, if you ask me.
Well, there are two schools of thought on that subject, Sammy. Morning Star, Harvey speaking.
May I speak to the editor, please?
Well, speaking.
This is Betty Trask.
Yes?
For the last few days, you've been giving Anatole Dubriac a great deal of publicity.
Well, he's famous.
Maybe if you did the same for American designers, they'd be famous, too.
Oh, any suggestions?
You might start with me.
What do you do?
I've got a small shop on Main Street.
Uh-huh. Women's gowns?
That's right. My own originals.
Well, this sounds very interesting.
Why don't you drop around and see for yourself?
Well, you know, that might not be a bad idea. Main and what?
Just up from 6th on the north side, Mr. Harvey.
Uh-huh. People who know me call me George.
But do I know you?
Not yet, but you will.
Thank you, George.
My pleasure. Sammy, I'll be gone for a while. I'm going out and look over some gowns.
Well, that's just peachy. Mind picking up a bottle of nail polish for me?
Oh, Susan, I am desolate. We have come to the blank wall.
What do you mean, Anatole?
Well, my designs are finished. My cloth is cut, but my seamstresses have not arrived. Myself, I cannot sew. What are we to do?
Oh, that's no problem. Patience is very handy with the needle, and I'm pretty good myself. We can do it, can't we, Patience?
Yeah, we can try. Lots of fancy doodads, especially on that formal. Yeah, but we'll be in there stitching.
Oh, voila, chérie, it is done. Now I can, as you say, relax, eh?
I'll get started back on the sun porch.
Suzanne, tonight it is impossible for us to dine together.
Oh?
Tonight, you see, I must dine with the mayor. I dine with him only. Then I leave and come back to you. We shall dance again on the terrace under the moon.
The General Grant Hotel room. It was beautiful.
Oh, Suzanne, with you, everywhere is beautiful.
Morning Star, Harvey.
George, I've been trying to get you for the past 2 hours.
Well, I've been out of the office, Susan. I've got a paper to run, you know.
Oh? Well, I want you to come for dinner.
May I have that again?
You heard me distinctly. I want you to come to dinner.
What's the matter? Anatole fall behind in his board?
Tonight at 7.
Tonight? Well, Susan, I'd halfway made other plans.
Well, you just break those other plans all the way.
Sounds like a command performance.
It is.
Okay, boss. You know how I like my steak, don't you?
I certainly do. Often.
Forgive me if I seem impolite, but is that all there is?
You've had plenty, George.
Plenty? All we've had is cold cuts and potato salad.
That's enough for anybody.
You said come over for dinner, not a picnic.
Patience and I are in a hurry to get to work, if you must know. So stop complaining and come on out on the sun porch. Just stack the dishes, Patience.
Okay.
What do you mean you're anxious to get to work?
Now take off your coat, George.
What are we going to do, wrestle?
And slip this over your head.
This is a dress.
This is a gown. Now slip it over your head. Up, up. Now be careful, be careful. It's just basted.
Susan again. Armstrong, this is positively the last straw.
George, stop acting childish.
No, no.
Put up your hands.
No, I wouldn't put up my hands even if you pulled a gun on me. What do you think I am,
having trouble with the dummy?
Patience, I never said anything that nasty to you, and you know it.
She meant a tailor's dummy, and you know it.
I mean what I said, and you know it. I've done a lot of things for you in your paper, things I never should have done, but I draw the line here. Why, I'd never be able to look my friends in the face if I stood here with a dress on and made like a pincushion. And that's final. Ouch, you stuck me again. Watch those pins.
Now stand still, George. Well, I just want to get the general effect on you. This has to be perfect for Brockman next week.
I know I'm stupid, but who's Brockman?
Just the biggest dress manufacturer in the country, that's all. He'll be at the General Grant to look over Anatole's line. I'm modeling this particular gown. Isn't it thrilling, George?
Yes, I'm just duck bunks all over.
Oh. Now, get it in the center, Patience. Anatole was very definite about that.
It looks center to me, unless George is warped to the starboard.
What's she hanging on back there?
That's a peplum. Turn around and you see yourself in the mirror. Oh.
You mean a guy gets paid for dreaming up stuff like this?
Isn't it beautiful?
I think it's lousy back there.
Maybe you know more about designing than Anatole. Maybe you could suggest a better place.
Well, if you have to wear this golf bag or whatever it is, it would look a lot better on the side.
Hey, I'm inclined to agree with you, George.
Well?
No. We better not change it. Not until Anatole gets here. We could check with him.
Anatole? You mean he's coming here tonight?
Well, I'd like to know why not.
But I thought we were going out tonight.
I said nothing about going out. I asked you here for dinner.
Cold cuts and potato salad. You call that a dinner?
I guess I should have opened a can of beans, too.
George Harvey, your manners are abominable.
Well, you can take this glorified house dress and break
careful.
It over Anatole.
George, be
Patience,
careful.
Patience, help me out of this
be
thing.
Be careful.
He thought it up and you think it's great, so let him be the dummy this hand. I've played the part long enough.
This is the end. You know that's the end.
I knew it a long time ago. I'm glad you're finding it out.
Honestly, he has the worst temper I've ever known. I'm sure glad I'm not like that. Patience, what are you doing?
There was some lint on your wings. I was just brushing it off.
I hoped you'd be here, Betty. Did you ever show your stuff to Brockman?
The Brockman?
That's the guy.
No, and I've never shown my creations to the Shah of Persia. He's difficult to reach, too.
In a pig's eye. You're going to show an evening gown to Brockman next week.
I am?
He's going to be at the General Grant Hotel. Now, where's a pencil and a drawing board? I've got some ideas, and you can whip them into shape, and baby, you'll be famous.
You know, it's funny, but I've been working on the design of an evening gown.
Well, great. We're half done then. Do you know what a peplum is?
In my business? I should.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, I'm just the guy to show you where to hang it.
But do we have time, George?
I'll work with you day and night. We've got to have time.
May I help you?
You're Miss Trask?
Yes.
I'm Susan Armstrong, editor of the Morning Star. They told me at the office that I'd find Mr. Harvey here.
But I thought that...
Mr. Harvey was the editor.
Yes.
No, he was helping out while I was away.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry, you just missed him. He was here a little while ago.
Oh, that's all right. I was just following up on a story he's working on here.
Then you know. Isn't it wonderful of him?
Yes, it is.
To think I'll be able to show my creation to Brockman.
Your creation?
I'm dying to let another woman see it. Would you like to have a look?
Yes, I would. Very much.
Oh, it's back here.
Well, you have some beautiful things here.
Oh, thank you. But here's my pride and joy. This is it.
Oh. Oh, that's lovely. It's charming.
Oh, I'm so happy. And maybe you won't believe this, but George contributed a lot to the design.
Oh, where's George? You seem to be very fond of each other.
We like each other, yes. But we hardly know each other. Actually, sometimes I don't think he knows I exist. He seems to have done all this for some reason I know nothing about.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'm sure he's in love with someone else. A woman can always tell.
That's so true, isn't it? But, my dear, how are you going to show this gown tomorrow night? It's strictly Anatole Dubriac's display.
That's what I kept telling George, but he insisted he'd find a way.
And he hasn't yet?
No, and there's not much time.
Well, maybe we can figure something. I always say women are better at these things than men.
Great line you've shown so far, Anatole. I like all I've seen.
Oh, merci, Monsieur Brockman. But the best, as always, we save for the last. It is my most perfect evening gown. It is a beautiful dream. Ah, voilà, voilà. You shall see it now. Watch the stage, Monsieur. Miss Armstrong will come forth.
Well, see what you mean. That's the best number yet. You're good at picking models, too.
But I do not understand. That is not my gown.
Not yours? Then whose is it?
Well, I do not know, but we shall find out. Miss Armstrong, over here, s'il vous plaît.
I don't care whose it is, Anatole. I like it.
Certainement, it is a beautiful creation, but I do not understand.
Yes, Anatole?
Miss Armstrong, Monsieur Brockman.
It's a pleasure.
How do you do?
But, Susan, this gown, perhaps you will explain, huh?
This gown was designed by one of our local girls, Miss Betty Trask. Do you like it, Mr. Brockman?
I think it's great.
But my gown, Susan...
I'll model that next if you want me to, Anatole, but I
thought... Nothing can be better than perfect. I've seen all I want to. Will you join us, Miss Armstrong?
I'd be delighted.
Sit down, Dubriac. The show's over.
Sometimes I think I do not understand America.
Good story you wrote about last night's show, George.
Oh, thank you, Susan. Are you ready to talk now?
Talk? About what?
Why you modeled Betty's gown instead of Anatole's.
Well, Anatole just didn't know what to do with that peplum, and he got so stubborn, he just wouldn't change it.
Yeah. At least you got a nice wardrobe out of it, Susan.
That's all I got. You came out the winner, you always do.
Well, what do you mean?
You got a new friend. Betty's really a nice girl, George. Talented and beautiful. She told me you work very well together.
Yeah, yeah. And Anatole's a nice guy.
But he's going back to France.
I know. And did I tell you? He recognized Betty's talent and he wants her to design for him. Great break for the kid. He's taking her back to France with him.
Why, that's wonderful. That's the best news I've ever heard. For several reasons.
Our two stars, Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray, will be back with us in just a moment.
Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, George.
On my way up from the composing room, one of the printers wanted to... Oh, no, Susan. Your scarf. You've got it a little too tight around your throat, and it's too much to the left.
Oh, thank you, George.
Oh, it's nothing. And your suit. I'd like a little of the fullness taken out of those shoulders. Just a trifle, you understand?
Yes, Monsieur Harvey. Anything else?
No. Now you're perfect.
Am I really?
Well, just one more little touch, madame.
Yes?
You need something on your arm.
Did you have something special in mind?
Yes, I did. Me.
Monsieur Harvey... I bow to your excellent taste.
Merci, madame.
Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray will be back next week in another exciting comedy adventure in the gay new series, Bright Star.
Bright Star, on Tuned to Yesterday from January 8th, 1953. And that wraps up this hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.